The following contains adult language, content, and description of actions that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
And the featured artist this week is Alborosi. He's an Italian-Jamaican reggae singer who won the MOBO Award for Best Reggae Act in 2011. He has 8 solo albums, with his latest being For the Culture. In the last year, he surpassed 52 million YouTube streams and 51 million Spotify streams. His top songs are Kingston Town and Herbalist. His latest single is Keep On Singing.
Keep on doing. No matter what life brings, 'cause when a man love a woman and a woman love a man, a judge a blessing.
When I love you and you love me, a judge a blessing.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm tired, you know.
You're in studio working.
No, not really working, you know. Let me move this to. Make sure it's presentable.
That's true. Where are you, Kingston or out of town?
Kingston, man.
So all good, man. Blessed. Nice to meet you. Welcome to World Music Views, Bridget.
Yes.
We featured you on Friday. We got a lot of good feedback from that. Over 3 million people between Jamaica and New York City.
Wow.
So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, man. Respect, bro.
Yeah, man. Big up yourself, man. We're going to start from the beginning in a boss. Like, yeah. You got to, how did you get into the music industry?
Well, I started very young. Like, I was like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years old. And I showed my passion for music from that age, to the point where my father decided to sign me for an Italian competition at that time that only involved kids, you know. So that was the beginning of my musical journey. I didn't win because to prepare the package and whatever, my family had to sponsor it, and we never really have that amount of money to, you know, so I didn't even reach to the qualifications and stuff. So I go, but from there, it's been a journey, musical journey.
So that pushed you and your career to climb from that age. What age was that?
I was 5. So even if I did enter the competition, I was too young.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't remember after I reached like 20 or so, people wouldn't remember.
And this is Sicily, right? What are the commonalities between Sicily and Jamaica, you find?
But traveling the world, you know, the world is the world. And to me, every culture is the same, differently from food, language. I mean, man and man, you know, we are people coming from the earth. I always have this mentality where if the aliens then come to earth, they would see us as just humans.
That's everybody.
Everybody is the same thing to me personally. That's true. My vision, yeah.
That's true. But what was it like growing up in Sicily for you?
A regular thing, like going to school, have friends, you know, like a regular lifestyle, not different from growing up here in Jamaica, you know. I never did anything special, to, you know, it's regular stuff.
Yeah. My knowledge of Sicily, just like a lot of people's knowledge of Jamaica is Badman thing and reggae music. My knowledge of Sicily is Godfather. That's the first time I got introduced to that country, Sicily, and when Michael was up in the hills and him with Apollina and all of that, right? Is there a culture of reggae there? Is there a culture of movies there? Is the mafia culture there as they would have pushed it in the movies?
Well, obviously, yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't connect Sicily with organized crime. But it's an organized crime that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the movie is just a storytelling, and sometimes it looks very fascinating, but the reality is different. Because this is, we're talking about criminals, murderers, people that, unscrupulous people that they go in around and commit murders and against women and children and drug trafficking and whatever. So, you know, so yes, it's real. It's real. It's part of the culture also. In the South is more like, it's different between the South Italy and the North. The North is more into politics, into the parish councils, into the offices. In the South is vibrant in the street, you know? But nowadays is more like, you know, low key. So it's not that highlighted, it's not in the video light like, oh, used to be like 10, 20, 30 years ago, but it's still there.
So how did reggae reach you?
Well, when I was very young, I listened to a cassette of Bob Marley. Also, there was a commercial on TV about some football league, right? And the soundtrack was jamming. I remember me like, tang, 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 I wanna jam with you. I said, yo, they like that song, you know? And then I realized and I discovered after that that was Bob Marley. So I believe that the music that we listen to kind of remind, like favor us, our soul, our inner soul, like you connect to the music that you like. So it's a connection, it's a bond between you and the music that you like.
Like a frequency.
Yes, you and the frequency of the music that you like connect, because the music that you like represent you also.
So for a lot of people, myself included, we just saw you explode on the scene, right? We just realized Albert Rosie is one of the biggest reggae stars. How you got to that journey? Tell us what that was like. What was the work that you had to put in?
I just build my journey like block by block, decking, foundation, stealing, rendering, you know, without thinking about, oh, you know, the difference between me and maybe different artists or many artists is that I don't think about the roof of the building. I start from the foundation and I will deal with the roof when I reach the rooftop. So I start with the foundation, blocks by blocks by blocks, up, second floor, third floor. So when people say, oh, you are one of the most relevant or whatever, whatever, I don't see it like that. I see myself as an art worker, and I've been working hard all over the world, shows, studio work. I try to contribute to the culture. I try to contribute to the sound of reggae. Because remember, when we came out with Kingston Town Herbalist, Rasta Anthem, whatever, there was a specific sound that not many people endorsed. Because when I used to play my Kingston Town Herbalist to producers here in Jamaica, everybody was telling me the same thing, oh, this is European sound, we don't like that in Jamaica, whatever. And then after I push it, like when I start to do like big festivals, headlining festivals, and the artists, they see what's going on and come back to Jamaica and everybody, we start to hear the Robert Dub sound and everybody endorses the Robert Dub sound. So somehow my joy, my satisfaction is to believe that somehow I also helped to create some of our movement here in Jamaica.
In what way? Tell us. In clear terms, what was your contribution?
I was the first one releasing a dub album in Jamaica in like 2006. The first one, meaning that it's long time in Jamaica, they don't release dub albums, dub music and whatever at that time. And then
so persons released it before, but you brought it back. Are you
of course, yeah, no, person releases before, but then dub was basically just thrown away, like clean, in Jamaica, I'm talking about. And Europe had a dub culture, you know, England and whatever. But in Jamaica, you couldn't hear nobody playing dub. Put out a dub release. I started to release some dub. First one was Dub Clash. And from that album, I see different producers start to, put out dub music. Every now and then you can hear a dub version from people, whatever, but nobody never really put out a dub album, So the contribution was like to bring back certain sound, the vintage, the equipment, the foundation of whatever. And then I had major players, major reggae artists come to me and say, yo, me study the program and give thanks, I had some artists come to me and say, oh, this album, I brought it to my producer and I told him, I want to sound like that in terms of production, which is very, I'm very grateful, so that's why when I say I contribute somehow to the new wave, at least that was going on like a few years back. No, it's a different time now. No, it's more trap. It's more Americanized, So
what are your thoughts on those sounds, that new sound?
I love music and I'm a fan of every artist because I know what it takes to be an artist. To put yourself on the spot, to go on stage, to in front of people, to say things. And nowadays it's also even more complicated because people like to see your private life. People want to know what you're doing in your private life, what you do in your bedroom and all of that. And I find it extremely uncomfortable because I come from a generation where we never really like to be televised. We don't like being televised. I go on stage and I sing. I'm in my studio and I create a song. I write the lyrics, production, mix it, everything full 100. The TV never fit me. Yeah. I'm not a pretty boy like that. Right. And then also, I don't know, the camera in my face, I'm a singer. I sing for you. I play a guitar and sing for you. The people watching me. I watch the people. It's an exchange. It's love, one heart, one destiny. And so the new life of today, including the music of today, it's very televised. It's very social media. I mean, many artists, it looks like they have to be more influencers than artists. Remember them time that we used to listen to the R&B, the soul? Remember them time that Usher time? The time with the R&B, beautiful, like the TLC, all that music, like Mary J. Blige, like them, we listen to the music, and nowadays, all of that disappeared. We just listen to a different type of sound that goes with the social media, with the TikTok, with a mix-up, So that's the difference now. So it's hard to say to you what you like about this time. There's still good music. There's still good music out there. And it's not maybe the video light not depanate now because we're distracted by the gossip and who did this, who did that. Instead, now we concentrate on the quality.
Did an interview, a guy did an interview on ER recently, a young guy, new artist, Joshy. I don't know if you heard about him.
Yes.
And his complaint is that established artists aren't helping young kids. Maxi Priest answered him yesterday by saying there are no guarantees that a young artist is going to bust if they get a collaboration. What are your thoughts on Joshy's take that young artists are not being helped enough?
I don't know, bro, because I always help myself. I don't need nobody help me. The only energy that can help me is God. And it's never really good to me my personal opinion, and I stated twice, my personal opinion, I don't see it good when an artist help an artist. Because you have to grow with your own strength. You have to plant your seed, get a good team around you, and you concentrate on that, and you build on that. You don't make an artist help you. Because that strength is not strong enough. And actually, artists overshadow artists at all time. And it go both ways. You can overshadow the man who help you. And you might That's be a world true. Champion. Can you have levels of artists, right? You have levels of artists, you know, so you have the artists that do fairly well, the artists that, you know, I am balloon, you know, and then you have the mega superstar and whatever. So you make sure, so you know what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Who are your inspirations, or who are your inspirations now? Whether artists are, or anybody, like from what place you find music?
Then life is my inspiration. Life, emotions. I feel I need emotions to, you know, to create, to survive. I feed by emotions, you know, like it's not a person, it's not a music. I listen to every music in the world, as I said to you, and I want to really, you know, push that concept that I'm a fan of every artist. I'm a fan of every music because there's good in every music. Music is art, you know. So some music represent you more, some other music don't, but because I'm a producer, I'm a musician, I'm a man behind the mixing board, I can take the good out of the, maybe what, you know. So I'm a fan of every music, every artist.
One of my favorite songs from you is Jaja Blessing. When a man love a woman and a woman love a man, a Jaja Blessing. I think it is one of your biggest Jamaican songs.
Yes.
How did that song come about? Etana gave me her story about it when I interviewed her here.
I would like to hear that story.
Tell me here. You can listen on World Music Views, but tell
I
me.
I want to hear that story. I thought I spoke to Etana yesterday, you know, so more hear that story. Well, the story is like, that was my song, you know, Bill the rhythm, as usual, and Bill the punchline, when a man love a woman, and would they love it? And then at that time, I was managed by a specialist, Clifton Dillon. And specialist said, yo, we need a female collaboration. Like we asked Etana, whatever. I said, all right, boom. She come to the studio. She voiced it. She loved it. And then Etana come to me and say, you know, album, I need a song, you know, for myself, for my album or whatever. You know, I said to myself, you know what, maybe she's the right person to take it and go with it. Because more time, you know, if me have the song, you know, maybe the song is not going nowhere. You know, Jamaica is a place where, not because you have a great song, that means that the song gonna work. And there's a lot of politics, especially for somebody like me. So I said, you know what, take the song and go with it. And she made it a hit. The song was a hit already, but the song was a big tune. But a hit is a different.
Is a big tune.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That still, song is still played at weddings.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. When you have a song that's played at weddings, you're up on the next level of
up to yesterday, one lady come to me at the gas station. And she said, I get married in your song, you know. I said, oh, yeah? Wow. If you get married with Jaja Blessing, it's a good sign, as long as you don't get divorced with it.
No, it's a classic. It's what they call a reggae classic. You forever have that in your pocket. Your numbers, your streaming numbers, you managed to be one of the highest touring artists in reggae for a couple of years. You managed to stream heavy. What do you attribute that success? Because a lot of artists are finding it hard to stream, especially reggae artists are finding it hard to stream. What's your formula for doing that, bro? For having the tours and having the streams up, which is one of the key measurements for success in the industry.
Well, I just work, you know. What is supposed to be for you will be for you. So it's not something that I can predict. I always try to make my music like the production and the quality up, because I vision my music as a restaurant. You know, you go to a restaurant, you want to eat good food, right? You spend your money and you want to make sure, so when you go back home, your belly full and say, yo, that restaurant, you know, I gotta go back. So that's the concept I have for my music. I'm the chef, I'm the master chef inside the studio. So I make sure that I prepare my music using the fresh ingredients and my recipe up to the time. So that's the only thing I do. And then push out the music, go on tour. We don't say no to shows. I remember when the project really, Alba Rossi project really started, you know, we used to clap like, God knows, 250 shows a year. 270 shows a year.
You know? Wow. That's almost the entire year.
I was young and, you know, I'm still young, but I was younger and I was ready. Right now, me quiet, you know. If you don't see me perform much, not because the phone is not ringing, because the phone ever ring. But it's me say, yo, no. Say, yeah, yo, we have 25 shows in whatever. I say, nah, man, 25. No. May take 12, so cut it in half. You can't buy that. You know, yo, traveling hard, you know. And I see the world every month. Some people see the world once. I see it every month. Every month we go like from South America to North America, go Africa and Europe and then go Asia and then Pacific Islands. And this is an every month thing. So somehow the 2 years, you know, the pandemic kind of gave me a little bit more.
Center.
Yeah, you know, now I'm ready to go back, but I enjoyed my vacation. Yeah.
Where's the most amazing place you've been or interesting place you've been?
No, the world. I mean, every place is beautiful, every place is magic. Some places are a little bit boring, you know. Some other places are like, whoa, like, you know, amazing. You know, you step out the plane, and when you go to places like Hawaii, when you go to the Pacific Islands, you know, like, I'm a Caribbean man, so I like the island vibe. If I have to, you know, choose, you know, a place or whatever, but also the South America region, whoa, Brazil, Peru, Colombia, Venezuela, you know, like Central America. I mean, crazy.
I noticed you're multilingual. You dropped a song in Spanish yesterday. And the melody is already very catchy, by the way. I'm gonna play it right here. I want to know, is that part of your formula for success, making music in different languages, and does that help you?
Well, this is one of my first songs in Spanish. I did something in the past, but this is the first one actually connect to with the people and from the Latin American region, and like that, because I'm passionate about, you know, Latin American music, Central and Latin American music. It's the music that I listen to every single night after work, and I spend like half an hour to an hour listening to music. The only music I listen to is Latin American music from Cuba, Puerto Rico, you know, music from La Cumbia from Colombia, you know, flamenco from Spain, but still a lot of influences from the Latin America region. So it's actually music that I love to listen to. And I also get familiar with the lyrics. I write Spanish, I speak Spanish. So everything I do it because represent me. I never did anything for commercial reasons, like, you know, let me do a song in Spanish so we can go in at the market, whatever. Yo hablo español muy bien. Me gusta hablar español, tocar los instrumentos aquí en mi estudio. Estoy aquí en Jamaica, Kingston. Me gusta mucho. Y hablo español muy bien. No? Makes sense.
I know like half of what you just said. I know muy bien is very good.
I also speak Italian. I speak English, Patois, you know, so I don't want to. I speak French a little bit. I always wanted to speak French more because I do well in France, and my people would love to hear me speak in French.
Yeah, that's remarkable, man. You're actually at a tertiary level of music creation. You know, a lot of people are at the primary level, and they exploit the primary. But having that well done knowledge and words, because there's a lot of sounds and frequencies in Spanish.
Yes.
And words that you can even singing over your albums in Spanish is a thing that the whole reggaeton genre capitalize off.
I want to say something because I just signed with Sony, right? Sony Italy. And so we're doing a project in Italian.
Is this an exclusive?
Yes, exclusive.
News right alert. Here on World Music Views. Alvaro
news alert. Yes,
to
yes.
Sony Italy. I know another girl signed to Sony Italy, Yendri. You know her?
No.
Yeah, she did a collab with Damian Marley. You should check it out.
Oh,
bad singer. Young girl, really good.
Nice. I heard
this. Congrats, man. Congrats. Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, so we're having some music in Italian also.
Wow.
The girl is big, and we have to, you know, the demand is out there, so we have to provide the material, you know?
Yeah. This is a World Music Views question. We talk music and music based on World Music Views. Do you advise young artists to sign record deals or go independent?
You know, I don't like to tell people what to do and what they should do because we have all the answers, right? And they don't need to hear it from me. They have Google. You Google it. So, I mean, a big label come and they want to give you $1 million. You don't take it. You know? And then you want to go independent. So you want to be the businessman behind your music, and you want to make sure that you control your music. Yes. Do you have the funds to do it? Do you have the team to put it to help you push the music? Do you have the infrastructure that you need to do that? Like, is your strength a real strength? Are your social media, you have 2,000 followers, and you put out your album yourself? Where are you going? It all depends who you are, what you want to do. You put everything on the table, right? We have to be real in life. If you're an ugly man, you can't be a model. So if you want to be a model, hey, good luck, try. You know, I'm not a model. I don't have the six packs and whatever. So I have to sing, right? So it all depends what you have. And what you have now, you have to learn how to use it and utilize it in your favor. So go independent if you have the team, if you have a plan and a vision, if you want to go with a label, go with a label. Maybe you can go with a label for one album or two and then pay you good money. And with that money, you build your independent. I'm not against labels.
Good answer. Who are your top five all-time favorite artists?
Oh, man. I'm afraid that if I answer that, you don't even know them.
Nah, we do. We know everybody. If we don't know them, we're going to find them. We're going to find them and everybody. Pop them up right there.
I don't know, man. Like, I mean, as I said to you before, I love every artist in the world. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I can say like Bob Marley, yes. You know, Peter Tosh. I love Buju Banton, Bone to Killer. Just name them. Like Sizzler. I mean, Protege, Chronix. You know, Kabaka, all of them, like, you know, Lila Ike, you know, Jazzelis, like, everybody. I know, I'm not the person can tell you that, you know, whatever. To me, everybody's a star, even the star, them, they're my star. So if everybody's a star, this is the sky.
And the last question I want to ask you is about the Grammys. What is your take on the reggae Grammy category in particular? And how the process has been.
You put me on the spot on this one. I don't know their process. I don't know. I don't understand it, and I don't know. Yeah? You know, Bob Marley never gets a Grammy alive. So this is my answer. Bob Marley never gets a Grammy alive. That tells you everything.
And he was the biggest.
Politics. Politics is a hell of a thing.
Yeah. Do you want a Grammy?
Oh, I want it, but not that I need it. It doesn't change anything for me unless, yo, I get a Grammy, and then put it back. I mean, let me drink my Grammy, yeah? Hey, I'm drinking Grammy, yeah? This is my coffee. I need coffee to survive in life, yeah.
So what is 2022? You have Keep On Singing. You have the Spanish song. What's the Spanish song name again?
Así.
Así, yes. Así. The melody start nice, by the way.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And you're going into 2022. You dropped For The Culture recently. Are you going to be pushing that? Are you going to be touring with For The Culture? What are your 2022 plans?
Well, we released Así, Keep On Singing, the two songs for Christmas. I'm going on the road next year, definitely, because I can't take it no more. So no matter what, even if you're not a street, you're not a subway, I'm still going on the road. And we're gonna push For The Culture, because it's an amazing album, full of passion and emotions. And I need to push it. And then eventually we're gonna have the little project with Sony in Italian. Eventually there'll be a new album next year, but we're pushing music. That's the only thing we can do. You know, you go to a restaurant and they give you food, right? So I have to feed you with my music, you know? Respect, yeah?
Yeah, man, big up yourself.
Yeah, big up. Yeah.
Yeah, man, cool.
And that's it for World Music Views. Follow World Music Views on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And log on to worldmusicviews.com for these and other music stories. I'm JR. Happy holidays.
Life is all you make it, you never ask to call.
If you want to hear the songs mentioned or heard on this episode, go to YouTube or on your favorite streaming platform and search World Music Views playlist to hear more.